You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back. You're on New Hampshire Now. 1-9, 1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Generations Dental Care, who makes going to the dentist an enjoyable experience for your entire family. Find out what exceptional dentistry is all about by checking out GenerationsDental.com. We come to you from the Concord Photo Service Main Street Studio, and joining us right now from Washington, D.C. is U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen, as we talk about the most recent revelations in regards to Donald Trump, his son, his campaign, and Russia, and also the future of the Republican health care bill, which is back and could be seen this week, the revised version, and a vote could come next week, according to John Cornyn, Senator from Texas. Senator Shaheen, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate joining us for the program. And, of course, we have seen months and months and months of denials that anything untoward took place between the Donald Trump campaign and Russia. There was denials of meetings. There was denial of any potential collusion. And then, of course, the bombshells over the last 72 hours from Donald Trump Jr., in which a meeting did take place. Damaging information was dangled by an emissary of the Russian government. It was clearly defined as such, in emails. Those emails were released by Donald Trump Jr. Your colleague, United States Senate Tim Kaine, mentioned the fact that this is potentially treasonous behavior on behalf of Don Jr., and I would assume also Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort, who attended that meeting. What do you think?
Well, I think it's very disturbing, and that's why Robert Mueller needs to get to the bottom of this, and I'm sure he will. You know, if it was such an innocent meeting, the question is, why did they not reveal it to the public months ago when there were questions about who from the campaign and from the Trump family met with the Russians? And why then, when it came out, did Donald Trump Jr. continue to change his story, I think three times before when he finally knew that the New York Times had the emails? That's when he finally released the emails. So I think there are a lot of questions, and that's why we need the investigations in the House and Senate Intelligence Committees to move forward. It's why we need Robert Mueller to move as expeditiously as possible to get to the bottom of this. And what I think it's important to remind people, again, is that this is not about partisanship. And I know that Trump supporters continue to think this is all about partisan opposition to the president, but that's not the fundamental issue here. The fundamental issue is that a foreign power who is hostile to the United States interfered in our elections and are trying to undermine our democracy. We've seen it in Western Europe. We saw it in the United States in 2016. And we have heard from expert after expert that if we do nothing to hold Russia accountable, they will continue to do it again.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I mentioned in the open, the key point here is that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are on the same team. They're both
Absolutely.
Vying for the office of the presidency, and you expect a campaign that is vigorous and at times ugly, but at the end, a handshake and acknowledgement that that's going to be the next leader of America. When you go outside of that team, the American team, and start to work with a hostile nation, that's where, you know, I think, you know, Senator Kaine is coming from in regards to describing, you know, potential treasonous behavior. But you're not there. You're waiting on the investigation from Robert Mueller and not ready to make a statement of that nature?
Well, I think it's important to let these investigations go forward so we have the information about what happened and the American public can see what happened. So that's what I'm waiting for. I think we need to do everything possible to make sure that the intelligence committees, that Robert Mueller gets the information that he needs. But one of the things that is not in doubt, Chris, is that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. The 17 intelligence agencies have made that clear. That is not a question. That happened, and the question is, what are we going to do to make sure it doesn't happen in the future?
Have you been given any sort of a timetable or have any sort of understanding in regards to when Mueller's investigation is going to conclude? Is there going to be any sort of preliminary results? What is your understanding in regards to that investigation and a potential timetable?
I haven't heard anything, Chris, about what the timetable is. I know I've been saying, and I think others have, that the faster we get the information, the better. But it needs to be thorough, and it needs to do whatever they need to get information. So I think Robert Mueller has the trust from people on both sides of the aisle, and he needs to be allowed to do his job.
In concluding here, I want to talk a little bit about the ACA potential replacement. It was interesting to see Senator Cruz speak yesterday and mention that he is up for potentially working in a bipartisan fashion. Where do you see this headed? Do you see, as Senator Cornyn has noted, there's going to be a vote, there's going to be a revised version of this? You know, Senator Collins and Senator McCain have both said that they think, basically that the Republican plans are dead on arrival. Where do you see this headed?
Well, I hope that's what's going to happen. I hope we get to the point where the Majority Leader McConnell is going to be willing to open up this process and work with Democrats. That's the only way we're going to get something meaningful done, is if we work across the aisle. Everywhere I've gone in New Hampshire, people have said, can't you all just work together to address this? But they're also very concerned that what we've seen so far from the House Republican plan and the Senate Republican plan is that it would decrease the ability of people to get health care. It would mean it would cost more, and people are very worried about what would happen, whether they could continue to get the health care they need when they need it.
And we've talked about this before, but in hypothetical situation, if in fact the majority leader does move in the direction that we both hope and says, okay, we're going to basically start anew and we're going to work towards a bipartisan agreement, is that something that you're open to, and not just working within the framework of the Affordable Care Act, but starting anew with provisions from the Affordable Care Act that have a bill that has a different name but achieves a lot of the same objectives?
Listen, I've said all along that we need to keep what's working in the Affordable Care Act, and we need to fix what's not. The fact is, the only bill that has been passed since we passed the Affordable Care Act that was passed with bipartisan support was one that Tim Scott from South Carolina and I did, that would allow states to determine group size and whether it needed to be covered under the Affordable Care Act, whether companies needed to be covered. So I think we can work together. Tim and I have demonstrated that, and I think there are lots of ideas, and in fact, we know today actions that we could take to fix the uncertainty in the marketplace, which is what is driving up prices and causing some insurance carriers to leave certain markets. They've been very clear and have said that this is what's causing rate increases, it's what's causing them to need to leave certain markets, it's because they don't know if they're going to get the payments that have been promised to them under the Affordable Care Act to help make sure people can afford health care, something called cost savings reduction mm-hmm. payments. They don't know. They're no longer getting the help that was promised when they cover patients that have a number of different health care issues. That's also increasing costs. We know that we could enroll people who are in counties that don't have any insurance in their marketplace into the DC health care plan. So there are things we know we could do today, and if we had bipartisan support to do that, it would stabilize the market and it would give people access to care.
In concluding, because I know you have to run, why not push forth a group of bipartisan senators and place pressure on the majority leader by working together and crafting this legislation, go into a public forum, go on TV, go to the American people and say, here, we have this bipartisan bill, and this is what healthcare should look like, and place pressure on the majority leader to move in your direction.
Well, I hope that's where we're going to get, Chris. Unfortunately, our colleagues aren't yet ready to do that.
So Republicans won't work with you, basically. Is that
right?
Okay. Appreciate joining us for the program.
Nice to be with you. Thanks.
U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Generations Dental Care. We'll come back with more from the Concord Public Service Main Street Studio after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.